Greetings to the Path family. Our slogan at the Path is meeting you where you are. We invite you to follow, share, and check us out on social media. You may connect with us at any time, anywhere, on Facebook at The Path Church or Instagram and Twitter at Join the Path. Without further delay, enjoy this week's sermon.
Amen. So last week we started out with Jesus the man, and that's the first part of our series. We're going to focus on Jesus the man, as in Jesus, the being of Jesus, the essence of Jesus. And we started in Revelation chapter 1 to look at who Jesus is, but also that he is not just the man, but the man, right? And the man over our lives. So we're going to pick up in Revelation chapter 1 where we left off last week. We're going to do a little review, and then we're going to jump into the rest of the message. But Revelation chapter 1, starting in verse 12, this is after the apostle John heard the voice of Jesus like a trumpet, and it got his attention, right? And in verse 12, he says, I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me. And when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And among the lampstands was someone like a son of man, dressed in a robe, reaching down to his feet, and with a golden sash around his chest. The hair on his head was white like wool, as white as snow. His eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in the furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand, he held seven stars, and coming out of his mouth was a sharp, double-edged sword. His face was like the sun shining in all its brilliance. I love that description of Jesus. You know, we started off last week talking about just the seven golden lampstands, which represent the seven churches, a number of completion that can signify all of his churches, right? His universal church, his churches worldwide, and how Jesus stands among the lampstands. And so he stands among us. Just like the priest in the Old Testament, the priest would carefully inspect and care for the lamps. That's what Jesus does for his churches. He is among us, helping us to always burn brightly. We know that he is standing among us today, because we know that Jesus, he was, he is, and he is to come. He is eternal. And we can't talk about him in the past tense. We got to talk about him as in the present tense, which he is here with us today. And I love that he cares for us. And when he talks about caring and inspecting his church, he's not talking about the physical building, making sure the lights work. And, man, is this wood okay? Can Angel walk on this? And the seats, how do they feel? No, who's the church? Us. Right. So Jesus loves us so much that he's constantly caring for us and inspecting us, helping us to become more like him and bring him glory. And let me tell you, our social media, I saw what social media said about me from last week, and it was encouraging. It said I preach with compassion and conviction, amen. But what I'm most proud about is how we responded. Amen. Responding to the challenge of simply seeing and treating the church the way Jesus does, right? Amen. And I believe he's pleased by our repentance. The heartfelt repentance that was proved by our deeds, amen? Going to God, first and foremost, having the talks we need to have with one another, asking after church, people were asking, how do I become part of the family? People have asked this week, how am I doing? Do I see the church? Do I value the church like Jesus? People have asked that. That is amazing. So much humility in that. Showing up to midweek. Praise God. Amen. Amen. I was home. I was feeling under the weather. Layla had woke up the night before, sick, throwing up, you know, what parents have to go through. But I got the pictures. It was a full room at the time we started. On time. I said, Lord, I knew we could do it. Oh, I knew it was possible, Jesus. I knew we could do it, Lord. So proud of us. Going to our small group events throughout the week. Being excited about them. Bringing our friends. Registering for our upcoming retreats. I know I went in on the man last week. We responded. You know, we have 87 men registered for the men's retreat. 87 men. And I know there's a few more going to register. Our goal was 100. We're going to get close to that, if not get that, with 1 week to go. Sisters, I want you to be encouraged. These are the type of men in this church. Warriors who respond to a challenge from God. Amen. So we can be secure in that. You know, I believed we could do better, and we did. Now, what I want us to do is keep the momentum moving forward, because I believe this fall season is going to be incredible. I believe God is already moving in powerful ways, and we have some momentum. We got a great kickstart to the fall, and we want to keep up with God. We want to keep in step with the Holy Spirit. And I want every single one of us to be a part of it. Whether it's miraculous things that happen in our own personal lives, in our hearts, in our families, in our friend groups, in our small groups, in this church, that we want to be a part of it, not just witness it, but be part of who God uses to bring about his power, his change, his miracles. Amen? So thank you. I am proud to be your minister. I'm proud to be your minister. In the good and the bad, by the way. But this is where we get to move forward. I stopped there last week, but this is where we get to move forward and really dig into the description of the man, of the Son of Man, Jesus. So I'm going to give you a chance to meet Jesus this morning. Now, I know if I would have said meet Beyonce, I would have got more than that. See, I'm giving you a chance to meet Jesus this morning. See, Nana, if I would have given him a chance to meet Drake, see, I know it would be going off in here. Like, if I would have said, man, we're going to have a Kanye Sunday service this morning. No? Oh, it would have gone the other way. Don't front. Don't front. Don't front. Kanye, come out here walking out. Y'all be like, what? God? Bring out your phone quick. Do not front on me, church. Y'all trying to front, talking about you would. Guess who's our church this Sunday? Come on now. We are a celebrity-driven society. We just, man, we strive to get in circles, whether it's celebrity circles, whether it's executive C-suite circles, whatever it may be. Some of our goals are to get into these circles to meet certain people. Because if we get in certain circles, that means we're valuable. If I'm close to power, if I'm close to certain NBA players or NFL players, if I'm close to the popularity, now that means that I'm something too, right? That's just the reality of it. I mean, I don't have to convince you of that, do I, church? But what I want us to do is be more excited about meeting Jesus than somebody who is flesh and bones and who sins just like you every day. And if they ain't following Jesus, they're going straight to hell, but you get excited about them. Right? And so I want us to meet Jesus this morning. Amen? Amen? It says that he is dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet. That means that signifies authority. That signifies dignity. The golden sash, you know, the priest had fabric woven in of gold fabric. But Jesus, his whole sash is gold, right? So it's signifying his priesthood. He is our high priest. He who intercedes. That's what priests did. They interceded between us and God. But Jesus is the perfect high priest. He is who intercedes for us. He is who stands in the gap. His head says his head and his hair were white like wool. Of course, his hair was coarse like wool. His hair was a little nappy, like wool, because Jesus, I believe in black Jesus. Nappy-headed Jesus, that's who I believe in. Rastafarian Jesus, he had the dreadlocks. The Bible says it's just like wool. The scriptures say his head and his hair, one, his head and his hair were white. It's describing color, not texture. All right? I know y'all want some black Jesus. I know it. I know it. Now, let's be real. He wasn't European either. We understand that. We have to say that because a lot of artwork is European Jesus. I mean, it just is, you know. If you grew up Catholic, a lot of Catholic Jesus is Anglo-Saxon European Jesus. He wasn't that either. Just look at history. He came out of the Middle Eastern region. So he was a Jewish man, an Israelite. But you know what I love so much about the Bible? We never get a physical description of Jesus. I love that. Why? Because he is for everybody. He is for all of us. He is our Jesus. Wherever we come from, he is our Jesus. And he transcends race and culture and all of that. That's the beauty of the Bible. He is our Jesus. And, you know, it's so hard to find great artwork depictions of Jesus because it's even this description, I'm trying to look for Jesus from Revelation chapter 1, Google Images, and it's so cheesy. Where any artists in the house? Can y'all draw a fire description of, like, I want to see like one that really does this thing justice. But it's so hard because all John could say is he is like this. He's just like the color of, it was just white. And what does that mean? That signifies when you have white hair, that's wisdom. So he is wisdom. All right, that's what that's talking about there. And so it's signifying that. It signifies timelessness, that he's eternal. His eyes were blazing fire, a blazing fire. When you look in the eyes of Jesus, you just see fire. The penetrating fire of judgment is what this is talking about, that Jesus can see through all of our stuff, all of our facade. He can see through all everything we put up, all the fakeness that we try to show, and he can, all the charm, all of our accolades, everything we put up, you know what? He can see through the pain. He can see through the hurt. He can penetrate through it all to see who we really are. It says his feet like bronze or brass of glowing in a furnace. What fire refines metal, right? And so this is Jesus. He's a symbol of purity. When you're refined in the fire, ultimate refinement. He's as refined as you can get. And his feet are glowing. That also means his feet, stability. That's the metal that weighs the most. He's stable. You know, I think about the Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, the three Hebrew boys that were thrown in the furnace. And who met him there? Jesus. And guess what? He's glowing. His feet are glowing. And so fire doesn't burn him up. It makes him glow, shine. His voice was like the sound of rushing waters. His voice, the power, the majesty of a mighty waterfall, of waves crashing at the beach. I don't know about you, but for me, that is so soothing. It's so, you know, if you look that up on, just Google that, rushing water, sound of rushing waters, you can listen to it for like 90 minutes on YouTube because it'll help you go to sleep. And so his voice is comforting. His voice is comforting. That whatever we're going through, whatever anxiety, whatever worry, whatever stress that we're going through that has us all worked up, we can listen to his voice and it'll calm us. It's reassuring. That's the voice of Jesus. says he holds seven stars in his right hand. And we read later on in that passage that those are the angels or the messengers of the seven churches. And so people will say, hey, these can be angels. Other people say, well, the word, the Greek word there just really means messengers. And so this can mean the local church leaders, because in Revelation chapter 2 and 3, he's writing to the angels. And so people say, well, why would he write to the, why would he hold the angels accountable for the churches? So it must be the messengers, which is pastors and elders, evangelists are the messengers, right, from God to the churches. And so this could mean that this is, that he's holding the church leaders in his right hand. And it's important to notice that where they are in his right hand, this is a place of safety and strength. Now, for me, that touched me deeply as I studied it out, because I'm very aware of the scriptures that talk about the responsibility and the weight of leading in God's church, of the higher standard that if you want to be a teacher, that you're going after a very noble thing. Not everybody should say they're a teacher, because you're going to be judged more strictly. Man, I understand all that. That's a weight. But this spoke to me, because I'm like, man, Jesus has a special place for me. Not just that he calls me higher, but that he's also there to make sure that I'm secure in his right hand. And he's taking care of his leaders. And for those of you who are leading in any way, I want you to know that you have a special place in the heart of Jesus. Thank you for stepping up, for stepping out and serving his people. It says that out of his mouth came a sharp, double-edged sword. His words are his weapon. His words are his weapon against the evil forces that are holding us captive. His words are his sword, a double-edged sword in Spanish. Si no te cortan un lado, te cortan el otro. You know what that means? That means if he don't cut you on one side, he's going to cut you on the other. If he don't get you on one side, it's going to get you. But he's not necessarily attacking, he's not attacking us, but he's attacking the sin in our lives. He's attacking the spiritual, the dark spiritual forces, the demons that are tempting us and that are attacking us. And so his words, as we know, when he was being tempted in the desert, he quoted the word of God. That's his weapon, and it should be our weapon too. So how close are we to the word of God? How much are we allowing the word of God to come into our lives? How much are we using the word of God as our weapon in the spiritual battle? It's really hard to fight the spiritual battle if we're not using the weapon that Jesus uses. And if you want to go deeper on that, Jesus is the Word. He is the wisdom, the wisdom of God. He is it. This life is way too hard if we're not going to be in the Word of God. Some of us are seeking a relationship with God, and we're trying to do scriptures of the day to get us through. To change our lives and become disciples, a verse of the day is not going to be enough. And I'm going to tell you even more. Them little Devo plans, that's a good start. The little, it takes you a minute to read through that, and you can keep on going. Listen, Satan is taking more time out, and his demons are worried more about taking you out than we are about standing the fight, if that's all we're doing. He's not taking a day off. He ain't got other things he's worried about. Guess what his focus is? You, me, right? And so we got to make sure we are prepared if we want to win, if we want to persevere, if we want to stand. And he closes out saying this, his face was like the sun shining in all its brilliance. Think about the most amazing sunrise or sunset you've ever seen. Think about the sun shining, the noonday sun, when it's at its brightest. You know, it's so powerful that you can only glance at it. What your parents tell you when you're little, don't look at the sun. Don't look directly at the sun. You don't get blind. Try looking at the sun. You cannot look at it for more than a split second without squinting, without closing your eyes. That's how powerful the sun is. A powerful sun that can make sure that we have life on this earth. That is, it's good for us, right? It keeps us alive. It keeps plants growing. It gives us the nourishment and the vitamins that we need. It is so good for us, yet it will destroy us if we get too close. And so at the same time that something could be so amazing for us, we still have to live in fear and awe of the sun. And how much more Jesus? You know, I'm blown away. We go to our favorite vacation spot in Madeira Beach on the west coast of Florida, right by St. Pete, the Tampa area. And I am blown away every single day I've ever been there. When the sun goes down, there are thousands of people lining the beach just watching the sunset. And you know what I say? I tell my wife all the time, I say, he's going to get his glory. I don't know where the people are at spiritually. I don't know what they're doing. I don't know what they're into. I don't know who they're worshiping. But I tell you what, they are glorifying God at that moment. And they are trying to get that picture. They're trying to get that. And you know, you ever notice when you try to take a picture of the sun, it just never comes out as good as it is in real life? It just never, it will never do its justice. And that little, a little orange dot. And it's like, and you take out, you just see the majesty. Next time you look at a sunset, I'm looking at the face of Jesus. Next time you're at the beach, I hear you, God. This is what he sounded like to John. This is who we follow. This is who we put our confidence in. Not in a religion. Not in a church building. Not even in a group of people. I love us. I love the church. We talked about that last week. We put our confidence in Jesus. This is who's on our side. This is who's interceding for us. This is who's leading us and guiding us. This is who we're praying to. He says, look, God, they can, listen to their prayers. They're mine. And so when we're dealing with issues in our faith, this is who we go to. This Jesus is who we follow. When we're having issues with our finances, when we're having issues in our family, this is who we have on our side. This Jesus, this man, this being who can be there for us no matter what. And so while we're crying out to him, we got to understand who we're praying to, church. And we're just not talking. Right? Be a house of prayer. We're not just talking. Hopefully somebody, the world, the universe moves in our direction. That's a popular saying now. If you just say it out there, you just speak it into existence. No, Jesus does it. God hears us. God is working. It just doesn't happen by itself. Not only did Jesus create all this, it says he sustains it all. My wife was telling me about her quad time. It was humbling because she's like, not only did I not create it, there's no way I can run all this. Jesus is running all of this. He's running our lives. He's in control of our lives. This Jesus, no matter how hard it is, he's still the same. The same he was back then, the same he is today, the same he will always be. Amen? How did John respond in verse 17? It says this. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and now look, I'm alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and Hades. John was so overwhelmed. It says he fell. He went, what is it? It says I fell at his feet as though dead. He just fell out. Either he fainted or he just went limp. I mean, all I could think, I don't know about you, but anybody who grew up in the 80s and 90s understands that there was somebody who could make people go limp. It was one person. Man, this is a bad man. Because when he hit the stage, people were falling out. Michael Jackson. I don't know why, but in my mind, I just remember watching TV. I just EMT people carrying people out. Limp. Because of Michael Jackson. When he had, and especially when he had that long hair, he still had the J curl in it, it was just dripping. And he had a little plastic surgery, like the 90s Michael Jackson. He would go overseas, and people were just, man, I mean, if you were on the front row, it was like, y'all remember Benny Hinn? And just people fall out. It was like, wow, I guess not just religious people, but entertainers can make people fall out. So Michael Jackson didn't even say it was God. It was just the moment. It was falling out. I can only imagine. Y'all know that song? I can only imagine what it'll be like. For John, he couldn't hold himself up. His knees got weak. He just fell at his feet like, this is too overwhelming for me. And then Jesus does something that's so powerful. Jesus puts his hand on him and says, don't be afraid. We just talked about the majesty of the Son. Jesus, the King of kings and Lord of lords, puts his hand on him, comforts him, and says, don't be afraid. And then you know what he says? He describes himself. He says, don't be afraid. I'm the first and the last. I'm the living one. I was dead, but I'm alive. Look, I got the keys to it. You don't have to be afraid. Why? Because of who Jesus is. In his essence, in his being, just because of who he is, there is nothing that we should fear. If we're struggling with fear, with worry, with anxiety, we just have to look to Jesus. Have to understand who he is, who we are, who we're worshiping, who is the one that puts his hand on us and says, I got you. Do you know who I am? Amen. He holds the keys to death, of death and Hades. It means that he alone can free us from the eternal bondage of Satan. He alone has the power to bring us up out of the pits of hell. Says, you're mine. Come on. Come here, boy. Come here. Why you been in there too long? Come on, girl. You mine. I made you. Get out of that dungeon. Get out of that sin. Get out of that lust. Get out of that pride. Stop lying. You better than that. Come here. Come here, girl. I'm coming for you. Jesus says, I'm coming for you. I'm not going to let you be there by yourself. I'm coming for you. I'm coming to come rescue you. I don't care what Satan has on you. I don't care what lies he's told you. I don't care how good it may feel in that darkness. I'm not going to leave you there. Come here, boy. Boy, your mama had to grab you out of something. You mine. That's the keys he has. That's the power that he has. He has the keys. He's the Lord of it all. And so how do we respond when we see this Jesus? You may have never seen this Jesus before. Maybe you just grew up looking at whatever Jesus, pictures of Jesus, or anything you thought of. Because, you know, one thing about it, we make up our own mind of who Jesus is, especially when we don't study him out. We think we know who Jesus is. We never even read the scriptures. We think we really know what his followers were like and what his church should be like. We ain't never even read the scriptures. So when we come in contact with him, when we see him fully, how do we respond? If we don't fall at his feet, we're not seeing him. And we got to pray that he will open up the eyes of our hearts so we can fully grasp as much as we can who Jesus is, who he was, and who is to come. Debo, my boy Debo, Deshaun, he saw it. He saw Jesus. That's why he got in that water. And it wasn't easy for him, though. I asked him if I can share his story today because it's so powerful to see where he has come from and how Jesus reached in. Come here, boy. He said, Debo, you mine. In a situation where, you know, he said, I could share. And some of it is really can be hard to really hear, but it's the reality of what some of us have gone through or some people we know have gone through, what people are going through right now. He's the second oldest of four children, has an older brother, two younger sisters. All of them were born with drugs in their bloodstream when they were born. And then he said he never met his dad, but DFACS, they came and got him when he was young because him not knowing told people that they didn't have food. And so, you know, when you hear that from a child, you take that seriously. And they went in and got him, and they were in the foster care system for a while. And his hopes, all of their hopes, as you would understand, is for all of them to be in a family together. And yet it's so hard to take four children together into one family. And lo and behold, there was a couple who met him and wanted to adopt him, and then met his siblings and took them all in. Took them all in. Now, his older brother had his challenges, and this was the male figure in his life. This is who he looked to. You know, if anybody has an older brother, you know, and especially when you go through things like that, his older brother was his protector, his provider in many ways, through all the challenges. But he went to jail, got arrested, went to jail. And so there he was, once again, feeling abandoned and by himself. Last year, we went to Fellowship of Christian Athletes football camp, and we got a chance to really get open about our lives and where we are, and he shared some really deep and vulnerable things. He kind of led the way in really opening up about what he has gone through, and immediately, man, our hearts just went out to him. We started praying for him. We kept building a relationship with him over the last year or so, and, you know, you could always tell there was something different about Debo. It's just his maturity as a young man, his ability to communicate his feelings, his thoughts, his challenges. He was so open, and just a desire to be better, just a desire to make something of himself. And I remember before he graduated, he just graduated, and I remember us having a good talk just about his future, because he always kept a good attitude. I never saw him mad. I never saw him, you know, he always kept a good attitude. He wasn't talking about people, cussing. He just always had a good attitude. He did well in school. And we just started talking about his life and his struggles and his desires to get right with God. Now, I got to be open. I was a little worried about Debo. I knew that if he did not get closer to God, I know what it's like. You go out to college, you go beyond, man, the world can eat you up. And I'm like, man, this guy has such a soft heart for God, if he can make it. And sure enough, he started studying the Bible. And the guys would serve him, Jamal, Chris, Jazz, the guys were loving up on him. I believe Chris took him to go get his driver's license. Started driving, graduated. He got into the Year Up program at Atlanta Tech, program where it sets you up to take on a trade. It was so cool going up to Atlanta Tech and seeing him and his boy Marquell dressed up in a suit every day. They got to dress up, and just what they're going after. And so he started dealing with some of the issues in his heart. His adopted mother, as we found out, had left him about a year and a half ago as well. And so it was only his dad in the house at this point. And him and his dad were going through a really challenging time. But you know what? He responded to scriptures about compassion, having compassion for his father. Scriptures about forgiveness, forgiving his dad and others who have hurt him along the way. Loving and praying for your enemies, those who feel like enemies. And I'll never forget, his heart was so open to the scriptures. And he would say, he'd read a scripture and he'd be like, man, you can't get away from the book. Boy, this book will get you every time, man. There's no getting away from the book. Ain't that right, Debo? Ain't no getting away from the book. And he would just look at the scriptures like he's seen a ghost. It's like, because he was wrestling through it. And I remember he just started falling in love with the scriptures. And I called him, or I was texting him, what are you doing? Oh, I'm cleaning up and I'm listening to the book of John. And I love that. I'm like, he's getting that book. And I remember the first time when we talked about forgiveness and praying for his dad specifically. And I said, go ahead and pray for your dad. Let's start there. That could be where we start. And he had an awesome prayer. Awesome prayer. That brother can pray. It's amazing. He had not mentioned his dad one time. He said, amen. I said, amen. That was awesome. You want to pray for your dad? And he did. And things started changing in his home immediately. And he's already started changes in his relationship with his dad. And his dad has started changing and growing. His dad was excited about him being baptized at our back-to-school bash. And so I'm just going to say this. For those of you who are trying to become Christians, and you may be getting a little persecution at home, either from your parents, maybe from your spouse. I have never met parents who did not want kids that were like Jesus. I have never met a spouse who was not fired up about a husband who is like Jesus. Now, they may not be fired up about somebody who comes in preaching and is still giving them attitude. They may not be fired up about somebody who does more church but ain't serving around the house. They may not be fired up about that. But if you're like Jesus, short time or long, they may become Christians, they may not, but they're going to be excited about who you are. What is there not to like about a compassionate, forgiving, humble servant, Jesus? Right? And so let's start there, being disciples at home. That goes for all of us. That's where our ministry begins. I'm so proud of Debo working through his heart issues and his heart to just help people around him. But it all started with him seeing Jesus, meeting Jesus, falling at the feet of Jesus in submission. And let me tell you, before his baptism, since his baptism, he's a different man. The Holy Spirit is real. I'm like, the Holy Spirit is real. Have you ever see somebody just transform? Like, he's changing beforehand, but he gets the Holy Spirit, and the brother is preaching. He's a preacher. He's humble, he's vulnerable, he's honest, and he's a preacher. And he is helping his friends. So please, God is moving to Atlanta Tech. He's already helped his friend Marquell come out. He met a guy named Will that's been coming out. Pray for Atlanta Tech. God has been moving at Atlanta Tech University. That's what happens when we see Jesus clearly. And I'm reminded as we close out in Hebrews 12, where it says, therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders, the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run. Let us run. We sang about that today. Let us run with perseverance, the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. Another version calls it, he's the author and perfecter of our faith. The NLT says he's the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. And so if we're trying to become a Christian, if we're trying to get right with God, we got to see Jesus. We got to allow him. He's the initiator. He's the beginning. He's the spark of our faith. You can't trust someone you don't know. I'm going to tell you that right now. You cannot give up your whole life for somebody you don't even understand who he is. We don't ask you to do that. That's why we ask you to study the scriptures. That's why we walk with you and helping you to get to know Jesus so you can build your faith and get to a point where you say, okay, I'm ready to follow Jesus. I'm ready to give everything up, but you can't trust him enough to give everything, give up your whole life. It's not an easy thing. Give up your future, your relationships, your lifestyle, what you deem valuable, and you don't even know the man. Religion ain't going to be enough, y'all. Tradition ain't going to be enough. Wanting to be a good person, better yourself, it ain't going to be enough. Self-help, desires, ain't going to be enough. That's why we got to keep our eyes on Jesus. But not only is he the initiator, says he's the perfecter for all of us, young and old Christians alike. Jesus wants to perfect our faith. He is still maturing us in our faith. He is helping us to continue to grow in our faith. Why? Because there's going to be challenges every single day where he's calling us to take up our cross. And that cross is going to feel heavy. And we're going to look at it sometimes in the morning and be like, no about the day, Lord. But if we keep our eyes focused on Jesus, he can perfect our faith. And that second part of that scripture, the NLT says, because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross. Disregarding its shame, now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Think of all the hostility he endured from sinful people. Then you won't become weary and give up. Some of us may be seeing Jesus for the first time today. Some of us need to get back to seeing Jesus. We need our faith to be refined. And we got to consider him. As hard as it gets in our own lives, as Christians, it says, look to him, consider your Lord, consider all that he went through. Think about that, everything he endured. Because I don't know about you, I haven't been put up on a cross for my enemies. Think about him so that you don't grow weary so that you don't lose heart. For Christians, that's what Satan's trying to do to us. He's trying to get us to give up, to lose heart, to grow weary, to leave God, to leave our Savior, to leave this Jesus. And so we got to keep our eyes on Jesus. And I praise God that for the joy set before him, he endured that cross. So that whatever we got to, whatever decisions we got to make today, we can do that because he endured the cross. So this time we're going to take communion. At this time we're going to take some time to really consider him who endured hardship, pain. He's the one that's calling you to live for him. He's the one that's calling you to a commitment that's crazy, to a faith that's crazy, to a submission that's crazy. He's the one that's calling because he died for us. So as we take this cracker that represents the body that was broken for us on that cross and the juice that represents his blood, let's think about this Jesus who wants to continue to not only initiate our faith, but perfect our faith. Father God, we come to you grateful and humbled. Father, I pray that our hearts are in awe of Jesus right now. And that our hearts will always be in awe of Jesus. That we may look to Jesus with reverence, with respect, to honor him. That we may have gratitude in our hearts, that we may be joyful and excited about the possibilities of walking this journey with Jesus. It's the greatest gift of all. And we thank you for the sacrifice that he made so that we can have an opportunity to be in a right relationship with you. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for using those keys and opening up the gates of hell to come rescue us. Keep us in your right hand. Keep us secure. Keep us in your kingdom. Protect us from the evil one. And Father, help us to have just a tunnel vision that keeps our eyes focused on your son, Jesus. Help us to rejoice in our salvation. And for those of us who need to make decisions today, I pray that you will strengthen us and strengthen our faith so that we can repent, so that we can grow, so that we can leave the world and step into the destiny that you have carved out for us, Father, in your kingdom for eternity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. New sermons are uploaded each Monday morning. Simply search The Path Church Atlanta in iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcasting service. Additionally, we greatly appreciate your feedback on iTunes. If you would like to learn more about The Path, we encourage you to visit www.thepath.church. We hope to fellowship with you soon.